What's going on, y'all? This is Mike Brown, and I want to welcome you to this week's episode of The Art of Letting Go. While I have your attention, please be sure to subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen to the podcast. Also, leave a review. Let people know what you think. Let me know what you think. Man, I love hearing from y'all for these questions, asking me a question. If you want to send in a question, hit me up on any of the social medias, The Art of Letting Go Podcast. You can email theartoflettinggopodcast@gmail.com. There's also a link on theartoflettinggopodcast.com where you can send a question. And there's a phone number, but I can't remember it right now. Yo, what up? This is Mike Brown, and this is The Art of Letting Go. Today, I have a special guest in the building. She went to my rival university. But we still got love for it. No, I'm playing.
Wait, is Xavier still open? Okay. I thought it closed down or something. I'm sorry. Lack of funding or something, I heard. I don't know.
Yes, Xavier is still open. I didn't know Dillard was still open.
Dillard is still thriving. Still thriving, yeah.
That's funny.
Can you introduce HBCU?
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. New Orleans, HBCU.
Yeah.
You mind introducing yourself to the people?
Sure. My name is Brandy Hardy, and I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist here in Los Angeles. Should I say something else? I don't
know. No, that's all good. That's all okay. Good. How you feeling today?
I am feeling probably like maybe slightly anxious, you know, but for the most part, you know, I feel good. I feel excited, you know, anxious because like I'm not, you know, I'm doing a podcast and people can hear my voice. Like I'm just used to, you know, people who I'm working with or folks like who are in my life, and I'm not on social media. So I'm thinking like, oh man, now I'm on social media. Do I get back on social media? So I'm like just kind of overthinking it a bit. But aside from that, I would say that I feel overall good and I feel excited, you know, just about what's to come. And I'm actually enjoying the overcast today.
Yeah, no, it's been nice.
Yeah, I'm enjoying the overcast today. Like, I feel like it gives me opportunity to be inside. You know, sometimes when the sun is out and you feel like, oh man, I gotta go out and be doing something. But this gives me permission to relax, you know, so yeah.
That's what's up. Why'd you get off social media?
Why did I get off social media? Because it wasn't very useful to my life, you know, anymore. It started with, I gotten off of Facebook. And then I also felt like I couldn't really post or say things that I really wanted to say, as I didn't think that people would receive it very well.
Yeah.
So I would think a lot about what I'm going to post. Like, it may be really serious issues or, you know, just in-depth stuff. Like, how I think, things that come up in my mind. And then, like, I would start to post it and then I'll say, people don't care about, like, they don't care. People don't care. And so I'm like, back to Facebook. And I'm like, delete. And, it felt like very, as I'm watching other people, it felt like really performative. And then that's the second reason. And then the other reason was that it kind of gave like a false sense of closeness, like to the people, you know. It's like I had like 400 friends on Facebook. I don't have 400 friends.
I understand. Yeah.
In my real life. But for some reason, some of those people, it felt like, you know, I was closer to them than what I really was, or that maybe they felt that they were closer to me than what we really were, you know. So people would say like, oh, I saw that you were at this place, but you don't know me because you saw me going hiking. Like, that doesn't mean anything, you know. So I got off because of that reason, and it felt really good the first year I got off. Both, you know, Instagram, I mean, Facebook was so long ago, I haven't been on there in like super long, but Instagram, it's usually like on and off. But I haven't been on Instagram in a long time. And, it felt nice, like that people my close friends, like still, I'm still connected to them, whether I'm on Facebook, Instagram or not.
Yeah.
You know, people would actually remember my birthday without the prompt. Like, today is like, so I was really impressed by that. Like 1 year I had like 15, you know, friends like hit me up for my, I'm like, how do you remember? Because some of them, I didn't know their birthdays. So
yeah.
Without the social media prompt. And so it kind of forced like more genuine and intentional relationships. And, you know, I just don't find that it's something that I need or that's very useful for me.
Yeah. I'm thinking just because it's Mental Health Awareness Month, how much of an effect do you think social media plays on our mental health?
I think it plays a large effect. I mean, it's like virtual reality, you know, like I saw someone say, like, I want to be Facebook. Like, I love it so bad. I want to live in Facebook. I want to live in IG, you know.
Hell no.
You know, it's like I want to absorb myself like into these spaces because it is it's a huge distraction. You know, I have people who I work with, that's all they do. Like, that is their social interactions, you know, when they're gaming or when they are, you know, on these platforms that we don't know how to interact with people in real life. And I mean, and we all kind of know this intellectually, you know, but yet we have a hard time like detaching ourselves like from these systems because it's like an alternative to ourselves too, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, oh man, like I have a zit today, but if I posted a picture of myself, I can just like brush that out, you know, using this like, you know, using this app. And so it, I don't know, we're striving for perfection and like to alter ourselves, whereas ourselves don't exist anymore. Like our natural alchemy has been filtered out, you know.
Yeah.
By something else. So,
and that's scary. And it's funny you mention that because I've seen people like really do serious graphic work to themselves.
Yeah.
For social media.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, for what? Like, what do you get out of, like you said, not being your real self?
Mm-hmm.
What's a healthy way that you think people could use social media? Like what advice would you give somebody, like, just to be mindful of while using it?
That is so hard. I mean, because even that word, like, healthy, is kind of, like, overused in a way. Like, this isn't healthy. It's like, I mean, but what is, though?
Yeah.
You know? So it's, but what's healthy, I would say, how much does being, maybe a question that we can ask ourselves is, how disruptive is this to our everyday life? Like, is this disruptive to how I think about myself? And if it's disruptive to how I think about myself, then perhaps I want to eliminate it, you know, altogether, or reframe like how I'm using this tool, like reframe like how I'm thinking about this. And by reframing, it's like, well, if I'm on social media, like I'm coming with the understanding that a lot of this is sort of smoking mirrors, like it's airbrushed. Like, I have to intellectually understand that.
Yeah.
So then I don't internalize, you know, everything that I'm seeing here. So you can change your mind, you can change the way that you're thinking about it, you know, or just, you know, like I said, like eliminating it altogether. Or if you're using it for business purposes or to promote something or to spread awareness about something, you know. But if your sole purpose of going on there is to, you know, some people say, well, I go on there to connect with friends. Like, are your friends living in remote countries that they don't have access to phones? They're using beepers? Or that's not an excuse anymore. You know, because, oh, I want to see what my friends are up to. You can call them, you can text them,
hang out with
them. You know, you can hang out, you know, you can actually be, you know, intentional about, you know what, I'm going to devote Saturday, like one Sunday or Saturday out of the month, to connect with a friend or something like that. So
yeah I appreciate you sharing that. I wanted to talk to you about your practice in therapy and also ask you some questions of my own and some listener questions. But you are practicing, like, self-practicing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, private practice.
Private practice, yes.
Yeah, or self-practice, that works too, yeah.
I'm country. No, I'm playing. How has that been? How's that been, like, just working on your own?
Yeah, it's been, I mean, it definitely has its challenges because you are working on your own. And so you are it can be really isolating, you know, opposed to like working in community mental health or something where someone is essentially maybe checking your work, or there are so many systems that support you and the client, or support you to make sure that, you know, things are ethical and things are legal. So working in community mental health, by the time I start working with the client, all their documents are filled out and we have a system that we utilize for crisis that's already set up, you know. But working on my own, like, I have to develop, you know, all of that stuff and sort of determine like what my capacity is, you know. So if I'm working with someone privately, can I see someone who is suicidal or who just, you know, got out of the hospital for like suicidal ideation? What would I do if this person told me in person, like, you know what, I want to hurt myself? You know, if I was working in community mental health, you know, we would be able to write a hold, you know, for the person to get them to the hospital, but can't necessarily just do that, you know, in that way. Like, it's a lot more things that, you know, that you have to think about and consider when deciding what kind of clients you want to work with, because some people may not be well enough to just see you without seeing a psychiatrist and then having a case manager or a social worker and things like that. They may need a bit more support. So it's been, you know, pushing me to be more reflective and actually use a lot of my clinical muscles that I probably wouldn't otherwise have used just working in community mental health, because these systems are already developed and designed for you. But now I'm setting it for myself. Like, yes, there's like standard of ethics and standard of like legal things, you know, and you know, stuff like that to safeguard, you know, clients and yourself, but it really requires you to use like some of those muscles a bit more. But aside from that, like, it's interesting, you know, just to see, you know, to kind of understand the minds of the general public, because I see the general public. And so yeah, these are everyday people, you know, that I'm working with. And it's like fascinating to really understand and be able to connect with individuals and know like what they're going through, like what they're thinking about, like how the changes in the world are impacting them. And these are all kinds of people from all walks of life. And for the most part, they are experiencing something very similar. And I find that to be really fascinating.
That's what's up. Yeah. That's dope. Do you see a therapist?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I do. I've seen a therapist. I've had my same therapist for years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Like, on and off. Mm-hmm.
How important is it for a therapist to have a therapist?
I think it's really important. Like, I wouldn't see a therapist who... I wouldn't recommend seeing a therapist who have not seen a therapist. You know? I wouldn't. Yeah. I wouldn't, because how do you recommend a product that you don't use yourself? Mm. You know? So you have to also have buy-in with the product. You know, you can't just see it as like, well, I'm just going to sell it to these other people. I don't really need it. But it is really important to check in to make sure that you're clear, yeah, to go. You know, because you can be struggling with something that will impact the people that you're working with. You know, that will be a barrier for you working with certain people. You know, so you need to get that cleared up.
I I feel that. I'm thinking about going back myself. I've been out for a year now, just because I wanted to see what life is like with the tools that I built. Because I went for maybe about 7-8 years. Just like, let's see what this time has done. And I feel good. Life does have moments of feeling intense, probably like regularly, but I feel like I have those tools to get through them. But I'm also getting that feeling of wanting to go back. But just haven't been inspired in the sense of like the why. Does that make sense?
Yeah. You don't know why you would go back?
Yeah. Like I feel good right now. And not to say that you have to feel bad to go to therapy. But when I say that out loud, it does feel like I'm saying like you only have to go to therapy when you feel bad. But like right now, like what would be the point of going back to therapy if I were to go?
Yeah. I mean, but yeah, like I don't, it's not even tricky, but yes, it would be really challenging for me as a therapist to work with someone who does not have like an identified issue, you know? So if I keep going to the doctor, but all of my blood work is fine, like I don't, there is no abnormalities, then me and the doctor are just friends at that point. That's not even my doctor. That's my buddy that I'm just kind of going to, you know, get unnecessary labs and tests done on, you know, but yeah, you should go to therapy when you don't feel well, you know, if there's something, maybe you don't have to feel like absolutely terrible, but you can be going through a transition in your life and you just may need to, you know, to reflect on some things, or maybe to process some things that perhaps someone, your friends can't help you with, or your family or your partner, you know, can't help you with. So you don't have to absolutely feel terrible, you know, but I think that it is important for there to be maybe some sort of conflict that you're contending with, because it does give the therapist something to work with. If you're just there and you're like, no, I feel good. How are you doing? It's like, I'm fine. But, you know, so we want to give the therapist also something to work with. And you want to, you know, you're paying for this. And so you want to make sure that it's purposeful, you know, in that way.
Yeah. How important do you think it is to have a therapist? Because I hear a lot of people say that they want a therapist that can relate to their issues or like understand them. How important is it for your therapist to, I guess, almost like identify with you in some kind of way? Does that make sense? If you're black, to have a black therapist, or if you queer, to have a queer therapist.
It can be an issue of like over identifying, you know. So I know that there are some people who, you know, may say, yeah, I want a black woman, or I want a black man, or I want, you know, someone who's Spanish speaking and, you know, identify as this. You know, it can be too specific where, and I think sometimes, and it's not all the time, sometimes it's, I want someone to affirm me and to tell me that what I'm thinking is that I'm fine, that it's okay. You know, maybe I don't want to be challenged in that way. That's sometimes, you know, that I want someone that's going to mirror me in that way. You know, or you want someone that can, because we may feel that if I'm seeing another woman and I'm a woman, then there's going to be a certain level of empathy because she's a woman and she may have experienced something similar. So then, yeah, I can understand that. But being mindful about when we over-identify and then we don't get any work done, because the therapist is like, yeah, no, I completely understand. And it's not challenging you to think about things in a different way and consider some of the patterns that may keep you stuck. I don't identify with all of my clients. Like some of the things that they come into the office with, you know, or on the Zoom, it's things that I've never personally experienced, but I can maybe identify with some of the distress, you know, of it. So it may not be like that exact experience that I have experienced with, but the feeling of confusion, the feeling of anger and disappointment, you know, being able to identify with that, you know. So culturally, I see all types of people, you know, and we don't always, you know, identify, but we align in that we are human and we're having this experience that we are attempting to understand and move through, you know. But some people need that. I don't think that it is always necessary. You know, like, I've worked with a lot of folks in substance abuse, like in addiction, but I've never struggled with substance abuse, but it does not mean that my practices are not effective.
Right. That makes sense.
It's James Woods, aka That Yoga Dude, with Feel Free to Feel Free. Taking a deep breath to breathe in the current moment. Letting go of stress, letting go of worry, letting go of doubt, and bringing in the current moment. Each and every breath brings in more and more of what's happening right now. As I let go of what could or what didn't, I relax my feet as I stand firm in the right now. I soften my back and my shoulders as I let go of the weight of worrying about tomorrow. I release any tension in my head, in my neck, in my chest as I ease into the right now. As you take 3 deep breaths, inhale and exhale. Deep inhale, softening the face. And a long, slow exhale, emptying the body. Inhaling once again. In a long, slow, relaxing, releasing, present exhale. Believe right now in this current moment that everything's all right. And as always, feel free to feel free. And namaste. Peace.
I wanted to ask you, what advice would you give to someone as far as like how to pick a therapist?
That's a good question. So the target demographic, you know, that I'm interested in working with are those individuals who may not know how to do that. Like, they are new to therapy, or perhaps they haven't really had like good experiences in the past, you know. But always doing a consultation with a therapist first, like in talking about what your presenting issue is, asking the therapist what kind of experience do they have with treating that, you know, asking questions like, how do you see change? Like, how do you think that people change, you know? And just filling it out the same way that you would fill out if you're deciding if you like someone or not. Like, do I want to work for this person, or do I want to collaborate on this sort of thing? Like, it's vibes too,
right?
You know, if someone feels like kind of too clinical and too technical, you know, then that may not be the person for you. You know, if some people like a therapist who's like a bit more relaxed and maybe humorous, or who takes the lead more, and the therapy is very structured. But figuring out what it is that, how you want to feel in the session, and sort of going from there, you know, because some people come in and they may not know how to start. You know, I don't know what to say, like, starting off with my therapist. So then you want someone who's like more direct and who can guide those sessions, and it's not you doing a lot of it. You know, they're working at your pace, you know. So But yeah, I've had a few clients, you know, who would say, I don't know like what to ask you, you know, yeah. like what questions and things like that. So, someone who's open, you know, to telling you like, this has been my experience, like working with depression or working with someone going through a breakup, you know, and even maybe the therapist may self-disclose a little bit, you know, about themselves in order to bond and build that trust and that alliance with the individual. So I would say like looking out for some of those things.
So now I wanted to get to our segment, our listener segment called Ask Me a Question. So I feel like two of the questions kind of might relate to each other, might not. I'm not too sure. So we'll go with the first one first, which is... It is from Seth on Instagram, and he asked, is it possible to move on with your life in, as far as trauma? Like, is it possible or not to be able to get over it and move on? And I'll let you start.
Yes, of course. I think that, you know, that anything is possible. Like anything can be restored, anything can be, you know, rejuvenated or undone. But it takes awareness, you know, first and insight, you know, about what's happening and being able to name what's going on with you. You have to identify the issue first, like to have a framework. But the thing about trauma is that it's like so insidious, and it kind of wraps into all of these different parts of a person's life, and they may not know where to start because it doesn't just like impact one thing. Usually it impacts a lot of different things, but it is possible to be able to live, you know, a life where you feel fulfilled and, you know, after trauma, even though it may not seem like that, because trauma takes so much from you and it constantly robs you of things, you know, where you sometimes you may can't see up, you know. But the first step is acknowledging that something is going on, you know, with me, and I want some type of relief, you know, and being committed, you know, to whatever practices and habits and rituals and changes that you have to implement in order to get that relief. But yeah, it is definitely possible. I work with a lot of individuals who are dealing with trauma or who have dealt with some type of complex trauma, and you know, we're working through it, and they're resilient. But yeah, it's possible.
I agree with you, and I think something I would add to that for the listeners is knowing that healing is not linear. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of times when we do work, we get up to a point where it's like you might feel healed or you might feel over it, and then something else may come up and make you feel it. And just understanding, like, you know, as long as you're on a journey, you're going to be continuously working through stuff till you get to a point where it's like it's not there. But I think that consistency of work will get you to that point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And sometimes like taking a rest, you know, and finding a respite, you know, from some of the work too, you know, it's like we are in this age of perfection. And like, I'm starting not to even like the word healthy because I think it's misused, and I don't know if we even understand what that means. And so to be healthy does not mean to be without conflict, without discomfort, without distress. And so we in turn find ourselves reaching like an addiction to feel good, to have no conflicts. And love is butterflies and rainbows. And it's not something that you work at, or that, that everything is a trauma. Whenever I feel, you know, confronted with something, then that's a trauma, or I'm activated or I'm triggered. you know, but pain and suffering is also a part of this life experience, but it's how you wear it, you know, how you manage it, how you internalize what is happening to you, because then if you're always reaching for like the good feeling things, and then when it gets like really rocky and shaky, it's like, I have to escape, abort. You don't learn conflict resolution. Like you don't learn that your mind, your body is not turning against you. Like this is utility. It's telling you something. It's a message. It's an indicator. You know, the way that your check engine light comes on your car or your oil change, it doesn't mean like danger. It means that it's something that needs to be looked into.
Yeah.
You know, so it's the way that we wear our trauma or the way that it shows up that may make it feel like, oh my God, like I cannot deal with this, you know, and just understanding it too. You know, because it's distressing, it doesn't mean that I have to run away from it or this isn't safe for me. You know, so knowing what to be curious about, you know, leaning into it rather than running away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what's up. Our next question is from Deshaun Woods. And I feel like this is somebody who may personally know you, because they ask, what is your current perspective of love?
I don't think I know that person.
Deshaun Woods.
No, I don't think I know. I don't know that man. No. What's my current perspective of love? I don't know. That's like a broad. That's a broad question. My perspective of love doesn't really change. It's unchanging. I always believe in love, you know. I don't even know if I know how to answer that question. Like what my perspective of love is, you know. I do feel like it's something that many of us are lacking. We have like some remnants or something of love, but not like true love. I don't think that many of us have like experienced like what true love is, you know. But when we are wrapped in love, you know, I definitely think like it's probably, you know, like you're at your highest seat when you're able to experience love in its true form. You know, you're able to really, you know, understand like God's love, you know, and what that feels like. So that's like my perspective of love. It's unchanging, you know. I love and I try to walk in love, you know, through all parts of my life. You know, it's when I feel most honest, it's when I feel the freest, you know, when you're acting in love, you know, even if it feels confusing or, you know, scary, I would say, maybe not confusing, but even if it feels scary sometimes, because love requires you to give up parts of yourself, you know, especially the ego, you know, to sit in all of its true glory, you know. It requires you to be pure and open and honest. Yeah. Oh yeah, that's my answer to that.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I got two more questions for you. What advice would you give to your younger self?
What advice would I give? What comes up first, I think, is like what's most important. It's like I don't know if I would change anything. Like giving advice to my, at least like of what I can think of. Right now, I mean, believe it or not, like I've always been like really like introspective, like even as a kid, which caused me a lot of anxiety, you know, so and just like really thoughtful and intentional about like what I want to do. But maybe like, I guess as I'm talking about it, I would probably tell my younger self, don't think too hard about it. You know, just don't think too hard about it. Like whatever that is, you know, whatever that thing is, don't think too hard about it. Be okay with making mistakes and sort of learning through things. Like you may not get it right all the way right the first time, you know, but that is a part of life. Like life is an experience. It's an experiment, you know, and to take it as such. Yeah.
That's what's up. And what advice would you give to, well, what reminder would you give to your older self?
Like my future older
self?
Yeah,
like your future self, yeah.
I mean, that's actually something that I'm thinking about, like, right now. Like, what advice? Like, I think about, you know, especially, like, around my birthday is in October, so I start to think about, like, man, like, what... Like, how do I want to be? Like, how do I want to feel, you know, at this point in my life? But advice that I would give to my older self that, like, enjoy your... I don't know if that's the advice I give to my younger self. I was going to say maybe enjoy your youthfulness. You know, if, like, my older self can, like, say something to my younger self, or am I answering that question right?
So... when you were older, what reminder do you want from like today? Like let's say you were older and you just thought back on something, like what would you want yourself to think back on?
Like if I was like in my 60s or something?
Maybe.
I'm trying to think like what specifically? Okay. I'm like, okay, that today is the youngest I'll ever be. And, you know, enjoy it, you know, revel in it, do everything that you want to do. Even if you're not quite sure, but just do everything that you want to do, like right now, today, you know, nothing is going to hurt somebody or something really crazy or anything like that. But yeah, be present. You know, be present in today, like what today is and how you feel today, because then when tomorrow is here, you're like, dang, I should have did that yesterday, you know, but whatever it is that you want to do today in this moment, you know, go for it. Yeah. I hope I answered that for myself. Yeah.
And you'll have it to always go back and listen to whenever you need it.
Oh my God. Imagine the 60s. I'm like, where was that podcast that I did in 2022? Where that thing is? And I don't know. It may not even be a phone. It's going to be something else. Some sort of
hologram
projecting of this moment, mm-hmm. like right here, because they were filming us. The AI. This is all being recorded somewhere.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, those were good questions. It's always good to reflect back. Like sometimes we live too much in the future, you know, and it gives us anxiety. And sometimes we live too much in the past, you know, which causes sadness and depression. You know, so living in the present, that helps us with being content, you know, feeling content and present and right now, because we can't do anything about either of those things.
Right.
You know, so, yeah, just in the moment, you know, we have now. So do it. Yeah.
That's what's up. Where can the people find you? I know you're not on social media, but are there other places that people can find you?
Other places. Well, I am on Psychology Today.
Okay.
I'm on Psychology Today, and I was going to, I think I'm going to reactivate my Instagram today and just leave it up for a week. I'm going to reactivate it today, like just in case, you know, if there's folks, you know, out here who listens to the podcast and they have, you know, some questions and they want to send a message or something like that. At least I can put the Psychology Today link in the bio on Instagram. And then after that week, I'll just delete it again, you know.
And so, if y'all want to get in touch, y'all can always reach out to the podcast. And
reaching out to the podcast, but you can Google just Brandi Hardy, LMFT, and the Psychology Today link should come up. But that's how they can find me, or send me a smoke signal. I think I'm gonna get a pager and just, you can beep me. You can send you my pager number. You know, I've been thinking about that actually.
Like for real, getting a pager?
Yeah, like a pager or like a flip phone. It's like with too much of, I think Kanye West, I love Kanye West, Steel.
Yeah.
What song was that? He said something about with so much of everything. This is on the My Dark Twisted Fantasy.
Okay.
With so much of anything, like with so much of everything, how do we leave with nothing?
Yeah.
And that's kind of how it is right now, like with so much of everything, like, you know, so many people also like feel super empty right now. You know, I have all of these ways of connecting with people, iPads, and I have an Apple Watch, and I got a phone, you know, but yet I'm like, I want a pager, you know, I would throw all of this away, you know, give me a pager. I want a beeper, you know, because there's like a bit of detachment from that. It's like you page me and then I got to get to a phone,
yeah.
to get to you, you know. So, but I have thought about that. But then it's counterproductive because I would still need the iPhone to have to make the phone call.
Yeah.
Decisions.
Get you a two-way.
Wow. Yeah. And put it on the hip. Yeah. Like that. Yeah. It's like we're wanting to connect and we're wanting to detach, like, all at the same time.
Yeah.
You know? So, just learning how to turn the phone off or, you know, put it on do not disturb. I see a lot of people are using that function now.
I do it a lot. Yeah. Especially at work.
Yeah.
Just turn it on.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Brandi, for coming on the show.
Thank you. I finally made it.
I know. We've been planning it, but, you know, everything happens when it's supposed to.
Yeah.
Thank y'all for tuning in. This is Mike Brown, and this is The Art of Letting Go. Peace. Thank you for tuning into this week's episode of The Art of Letting Go. If you like what you heard, please be sure to subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen. Also, leave a review. If you want to further support the show, we are on Patreon, where you can hear the extended version of this episode. We got like extra 20 to 30 minutes of this podcast. You know, me and Brandi love to talk. Also, you can go to the artofletting go podcast.com, purchase merch, leave us a voicemail. Also, there's a phone number, because you know I love an audio message. That phone number is 213-394-2773. Hit me up. Thank y'all for listening. Peace.